It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, welcome into the happy hour, everybody. Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. 5:01 is the time. Chris Hello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr., by way of shortwave radio there in that last segment, sounded like he was still in Korea.
He sounded better in Korea.
He did. He sounded better in Korea than he did on that last segment. Tony's out at Petco Park, and we catching up with him here and there throughout the program. We do have a Padre Pen Pals coming up in this final hour. Tony will rejoin for that. But he's got a game to call tonight, the first game at Petco Park this year. It is a exhibition game between the Padres and the Seattle Mariners. They'll also play tomorrow afternoon, and then the season opener, home opener, is Thursday against the San Francisco Giants. To that end, Thursday is a big old day.
Oh, yeah.
Like all day long. Get up at 6 o'clock. Ben and Woods are going to be down at Rick's Baja Cantina down there on 6th and L in the gas lamp, broadcasting live. Make sure you join Ben and Woods. They'll have all kinds of stuff to give away. Breakfast and everything's there. And you'll enjoy Rick's and a good time early Thursday morning. Then it's on to Annie and Elston from, what is it, about 10 to noon?
10 to noon, yeah.
Yeah, 10 to noon. And then the pregame show gets going with Sammy Levitt, then the game. And then after the game, that's where we come in, Scrape.
Yes.
You and I come in after the game on Thursday, the home opener, and we'll be in the studio here because we're going to be watching the Aztecs game. They take on UConn Thursday at 4:39 p.m. And because of that, we'll keep you up to date on that all night long, of course, while we recap the Padres game and all that stuff. But then we're going to stay until 8 o'clock on Thursday night.
Wow.
To recap what we were hoping. Yeah, I know.
What? When did you sign me up for this?
You signed me up, I thought.
No, we both signed each other up.
Oh, apparently
I'm just
so.
Kidding.
Yeah,
we're
8 o'clock Thursday night, hopefully recapping what would it be 2 years in a row that the Aztecs can knock off the top seed in the NCAA tournament. I know nobody believes they can do it, but you know what? That's not true.
I do.
They believe they can do it. And that's all that really matters. And I, you know, these kids to the, you know, to a man, I know they're going to go in there believing they can win that game. And that's going to be, give them the opportunity to pull it off. That's Thursday. And, so make sure you're with 97.3, the Fan, all day long. Also, with baseball season finally here, we want you to be sure to catch up on baseball and the Padres all season long. The Odyssey app. You'll be able to listen to us react to the biggest moments from throughout the season. You'll be able to listen live, local play-by-play for every Padres game. Download the Odyssey app today and search 97.3 The Fan to get started. Local blackouts apply? Why'd I have to say that?
Because during the Padres games, I talked to a lot of people about this.
Yeah.
Where did I see everybody recently?
What's the deal on that?
Anyway, so you have to, your service needs to be taken from San Diego County. Because if you want to listen to the game on your phone, it needs to think you're in San Diego. Mm-hmm. And so my phone pulls from the LA area, and I cannot get my phone company to switch me to a tower. So I could be sitting next to Sam Levitt as he's broadcasting, but it will tell me I'm out of San Diego, which is kind of annoying. But that's because of the phone service.
I got a better idea.
What?
Get yourself a terrestrial radio and plug it in and then listen to the game on the radio.
Yeah, you could do that too.
Whatever happened to that?
You could do that too.
You don't have to stream everything.
How many people actually have a real radio these days?
Nobody has one anymore.
I have one in my car.
Everybody streams everything.
Ugh. You know, for a long time, they were even saying to take AM out of cars because so few people listen to AM radio.
Oh, they've been taking AM out of cars. Yeah. Most of my cars doesn't have AM.
Your car doesn't have AM?
Does not.
Wow.
Not that I know of.
Whoa.
Not that I know of. I'd have to really... maybe it does, but I'd have to search for it. Like, it's not readily available.
Hmm. Real quick, Chance on the chat. He's a big fan of the show. He has been on the side saying that the Aztecs were going to get beat in the first round, then they were going to get beat in the second round. But you know what he did today, Chris? He came in the chat and he said he was completely wrong, and he's very sorry for being so negative towards the Aztecs, and now he is very happy with everything that's going on.
Should be happy. Should be happy. I understand the negative point of view, especially when you're playing a team as good as UConn.
And with what they've done this year down the stretch.
But you might as well root for the Aztecs. You never can tell.
Yeah.
They did it last time. So we'll all find out together on Thursday when the Sweet 16 gets underway. UConn women going to hang on, looks like. Syracuse got within 2 points, Scrape, here in the final minute. But now UConn back up by six with about 25 seconds to play. We bring this up because UConn is trying to advance to his 30th consecutive Sweet 16. That's right, I said that. 30th! That means in 1994, they were in the Sweet 16.
For the first time.
And they've been in there every year since. That's crazy.
Well, now that the Aztecs are doing this, they're going to be 30 years.
I hope so. Not just in the tournament, but in the Sweet 16. That's UConn.
Yeah.
All right. So they're ahead 70-64 with about 20, not about, there are 28 seconds left to play.
27.9 to be
exact. Thank you very much. Scrabe?
Yep.
All right. Mike Schilt spoke to the media today. Padres manager. May have heard of this guy. His club going to be playing the Mariners tonight. Thought we'd get some thoughts from Mike Schilt ahead of tonight's game. Team returning back from Korea. Mike Schilt, what were your takeaways from the trip to Korea?
A lot to unpack from that series. There was a lot of good baseball games. You know, we ended up splitting it. You know, clearly could have won two, and you know, but right in both of them. The thing that impressed me the most was the collectiveness of just how competitive the group was. Not that I didn't think they were going to be competitive, but just to the level I talked about after the second game, you know, that was an identity game for a lot of reasons because that was a tough one the day before. You know, hard fought, hard pitched, well played for the most part, had a break that didn't go our way. That's life. That's the game. It's going to happen. But it's really how you respond to things that ultimately are a true test of individuals and teams, and showed up the next day and immediately announced our presence, got punched back, and just we just kept punching and getting after it. And so it was a day that, you know, everybody contributed in pretty much both games, actually. But the spirit and how we competed and how we executed said a lot about the team, and is a very encouraging thing for the future.
Yeah, you got to be happy with how they bounce back after losing a tough game.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's impressive, and it's important. Because when you lose a game that you feel like something happened totally out of your control, right?
Yeah.
That's tough. And a ball going through the guy's glove for no reason, you feel like, whoa, what's going on here? You know, that can leave a bitter taste.
Yes, glove gate.
Glove gate. But they came back and came right to work on game two Thursday. Scored 5 in the first.
They did.
Scored 4 in the third.
It was amazing. Man. It was amazing.
They're up 9-2.
I know.
On the men in blue.
And they did it on Yoshinobu Yamamoto.
Oh, you were so happy about
I
that.
I really was.
You love to see this guy. You want to see this guy get bombed night in and night out.
And it's nothing against him. I have no issues with him. No, it's nothing against him. Personally.
It's against the Dodgers for giving him so much money.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes.
He gave him all that money.
All of it.
All of it. Never pitched a game before in his life in the big leagues.
Yeah.
He still barely has pitched a game in the big leagues. He's now thrown a total of one inning.
That's a very good point, Chris.
So he's only one inning further along in his career than he was last week.
His ERA has been stuck at like 45.
Career ERA 45.00. Hello. Welcome, Yoshi.
I love it.
To the big leagues. All right. One more thing. Manny Machado. So far DH'd first two games. Probably for a little while longer. How about an update on the progress of Manny and his chances to return to the field?
Manny's throwing's going well. He's just started, as we talked about prior to going to Seoul. First of all, he feels great. He's recovering well offensively. That was the primary goal, you know, to make sure he was not only getting at bats, which he was able to do effectively. That's a big three-run homer to salt the game away the other day. But also to make sure he's recovering well. And once he was doing those things, taking his at-bats, getting the volume he needs offensively, recovering well, now we progress. And we talked about being on track to do that when we got home. And he played catch yesterday, and everything by all reports went well yesterday. I haven't heard how he recovered today. But he's now coupling both, getting his volume of swings in, now introducing some extra volume with his throwing. And so that progression has taken place. And, you know, not to put a timetable on it, but, you know, loosely based, it's looking like a couple weeks of ramp up for him to be able to throw and do both and see where we're at.
All right.
That's a good sign.
Yeah, we'll keep that in the back of our minds a couple of weeks. I don't know. Manny Machado with a broken arm hanging from its shoulder socket still throws better than 80% of the third baseman in the National League.
While blowing a bubble.
No kidding.
He's really good at that, too.
I mean, didn't we see a clip of him in down in Peoria, fielding like slow choppers to third base and just whipping the ball buggy whip across his body to first base?
I don't know if, because we didn't see him throw for the next few weeks, if that was a bad
idea. Maybe that was a bad move. I don't
but
know.
But it seems like he's moving into the right direction.
It seems like 2 weeks is a lot further away than I thought, but we got to be careful about everything.
Absolutely.
We got to be careful. We couldn't go out of our house yesterday because it might rain.
It didn't
really rain. Oh, it rained a little here and there.
Oh, up in North County, there was some big old hail.
Okay.
Big old.
Did it rain all day?
It did not, but it rained quite a bit in North County.
It didn't rain a whole lot here.
Well,
not for what I was prepared for. I was told that Noah's Ark would be floating down the street.
I think that we've done this a couple times with the hurricane that we had in August that we didn't actually have, that Chris was actually upset about.
I was really upset about that.
Real quick, Jeff says they listen to all of the Padres games and the shows on a radio in the garage.
Very good, Jeff. That a boy.
Also,
Jeff's probably got a television with rabbit ears, too. I'm really proud of you, Jeff.
Cat in the chat says, we have a real radio working in the garage. It's not that weird. So
good.
Brock says, I just inherited an old digital alarm clock, AM, FM ready. And Welsh Fryer is joining us from Europe. So thank you, Welsh Fryer.
We appreciate everybody being with us. One more thing from Mike Schilt, because it was revealed today that Matt Waldron will be the fifth starter to begin the season.
That's right.
Padres will go with Yu Darvish on Thursday, switching something up. Most people had thought it'd be Musgrove Thursday. It's going to be Darvish Thursday, then Musgrove, then Dylan Cease. And by the way, Dylan Cease is starting the game tonight as well,
yes,
if you're wondering.
Mm-hmm.
Michael King will pitch in the fourth game, but Matt Waldron is indeed the guy for the fifth game. Here's Mike Schilt on that decision.
Waldron. Yes.
What went into that decision?
Great spring training. Not an easy decision. We had a lot of competition for, there for a while, our fourth and fifth spots before we got Dylan in the mix. And so we had a lot of competition there between Vasquez and Brito and Avila and, of course, Waldron. And, he just really pitched well. It was more about how he pitched well than the other guys not doing as well, because the other guys performed well also. So it creates an opportunity for him to get that start.
Vasquez, Brito, and Avila, do they stay here in the bullpen? Do they go to AAA?
Yeah, no, we'll We got all the guys here through the exhibition games today and tomorrow, and we'll announce our final roster in the next couple of days.
How do you feel about your rotation in general and your ability to fill innings as organizational depth is going to come into play? Do you feel better about it after the spring training?
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, we feel good about it in spring training. We like the guys we acquired in the trade. We liked our, obviously, Darvish and you, and, of course, King pitched really well, and mentioned, you know, Waldron obviously securing a spot. Avila pitched well for us last year. You know, we knew he had Brito Vasquez in the mix. Once you had Dylan Cease, a guy that's, you know, led baseball in innings pitch, that's huge for our club, huge for our starting rotation. And now you're talking about, you know, two frontline guys and Joe and you, mixed with Cease and now King, who's throwing the ball really well. We feel really strong about our rotation.
All right, there you go, Mike Schilt with the latest on Matt Waldron. I'm happy for Matt Waldron.
Me too.
It's good.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, I'm a little disappointed also.
Whoa, why?
I'll tell you when we come back.
Oh, come on.
Going to check some traffic first, but is the fact that Matt Waldron made the number five spot a negative of sorts? Yeah. I think I can find a negative in just about anything. And I think I've done it again. Come on back with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Scrape. Caitlin Clark just got fouled in the backcourt. They just installed a new law in women's basketball now.
Oh, I thought you were being serious.
Not allowed to guard somebody in the backcourt. Can't be touching, can't be knocking down the merchandise.
Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, Iowa's on. She's the biggest star in basketball. I know everybody says, oh, come on, you can't compare her to LeBron James. I'm not comparing her to LeBron James. She's a bigger story than LeBron James right now.
I see more commercials for her than I do LeBron right now.
I don't know if you've seen the ratings for women's college basketball right now. It's off the charts. Iowa's playing West Virginia in the second round of the NCAA women's tournament.
Although she is a slightly aggressive player.
Really?
Meaning Caitlin Clark.
You think she initiates some of the contact?
I do. And I think she gets away with some of the contact because of her name.
She might.
But West Virginia.
Far be it from you to ever feel like anybody's getting favors out there.
Oh, yes, yes.
Because you never feel like, you know, whether it be nepotism or stardom, whatever it might be that gives somebody a slight advantage, you are not going to ever imagine that that is the case.
It doesn't matter because Caitlin Clark just hit a three, nothing but net. I think it barely touched the net. It was that good.
She's hit two deep threes already in the game, but West Virginia's ahead 13-11 in the first quarter. All right, here's why the news of Matt Waldron being the fifth starter.
That was such a good tease, too.
Might not be the greatest news that I've ever heard. First of all, as I said, I'm happy for Matt Waldron. Kudos to him. I think he earned it. He seemed to be the best pitcher of the group.
Yeah.
But, at least for now, that means the Padres basically got two long relievers, a minor leaguer who they've traded away, a backup catcher, and one starter, Michael King, in the Juan Soto trade.
Yes.
Meh. That doesn't sound like they got as much. Do you see what I'm saying? Like if
Brito, they got Dylan Cease for that one player that they traded away.
Well, not just for one. They had to trade away three more guys too.
But Drew Thorpe, yes.
I'm just saying. I'm not trying to find a negative. I'm just saying that you could look at it and say you got Vasquez, you got Brito. You know, in the Soto trade, it would have been cool if one of those two guys could have also made the rotation along with Michael King. But they didn't. Doesn't mean that they won't eventually. It's a long season. There are very few teams, if any, that will use the same starting five-man rotation all year long.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen. Maybe one team per year will get, like, no injuries and have the same five.
Yeah, it's pretty rare.
So Brito and Vasquez will probably get their chances. But that's all I'm saying.
You know,
I'm not trying to make a negative out of it.
I didn't know where you were going with that.
I'm saying that you could look at it and say, well, that means that these guys are less, they're of less value to the Padres now as long relievers.
Yes, I can. I see where you're going with this. Right. And I don't think it's too,
I see where I'm going with it, but I don't feel all that strong about this particular comment.
You think that it's going to be much ado about nothing,
yes,
down the road?
I do.
Because those guys are good pitchers and they will
hopefully
have a chance.
Hopefully they'll get the job done in long relief, middle relief. You know, we'll see if they make the team. I mean, does a little part of you say, well, what did we sign Usyk go for? Didn't even make the team.
Yeah, that is true.
Is there a little part of you that says that? Now, the other part is, hey, he's just going down there to get more work, and eventually he'll be up and he'll be contributing. But they did spend a decent amount of money on him. You'd like to think he'd made the team.
I also thought he was a shoo-in for the team because they went out and got him. Like,
I'm
they
just
did.
Saying.
No, that
there's
got to
be
sense.
A little part of you that when he was sent down said, well, what did we make such a big deal out of? He didn't even make the squad.
I think it was because you focused on his name too much.
It's my fault.
Yeah.
I figured
you focused
it
on his name too much.
Now you sound like my wife. finding a way to blame just about everything on me. I don't know. That seems to happen to me from time to time.
I think what
I recognize that remark.
What Matt Waldron showed last year was that he can totally be that fifth starter, and if he gets better, then that's icing on the cake.
I believe 100% that he deserved the five spot. I think he deserved it over Brito and Vasquez.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, it might have made me feel a little better about the Juan Soto trade if Brito and Vasquez would have been those players. But they weren't, at least not yet. Something we'll keep an eye on
when you're saying
as the season rolls along.
When you're saying he didn't make the team, what do you mean by that? Because we're getting questions.
Go.
Yeah.
Got sent to the minor
leagues.
I just
wanted to say that.
Okay.
He might be on the 40-man roster, but he's not going to be on the opening.
Right, he's not on the opening day roster.
26-man roster.
He's not on the opening day roster.
Yeah, the 40-man is much different than the 26-man roster.
Yes. DJ LeMahieu, Yankees, injured list, bruised right foot.
Uh-oh.
He'll be back, it's going to be a while. Yankees have a lot of injury
issues. They have trouble.
First baseman Anthony Rizzo's got a sore lat. He was DH today against the Mets.
Oh, good. I'm glad he was able to get through his sore lat.
Corey Seager is going to be ready for opening day, as will Josh Jung, left side of the world champion Texas Rangers infield, is good to go after experiencing some issues. Brewers outfielder Garrett Mitchell, hand injury, will miss the start of the season. All-star closer Devin Williams has two stress fractures in his back, should miss at least 3 months, but since Scraby just drafted him on the fantasy roster, it is now being reported he won't pitch again until next season.
Okay, can we talk about this now? Now we got a little minute to talk about this.
All right, we had the draft in our league that Scraby asked me to be in. And
the guys are very excited about it.
The first 2 months after I joined the league was spent with me trying to avoid getting caught up in the 75 chats that go back and forth every day in this league.
Yeah.
But Saturday night at 5:30 was the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the draft. I like drafting. I'm into it.
baseball guy?
I'm a baseball fan. I usually kind of enjoy this thing. I was going to sit in front of my computer, do the draft. And
what happened when you showed up, I was like, or when this draft started, I was like, maybe I should text him.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, you could have. I wasn't on my phone, as I often am not. My phone was in the kitchen. I was watching TV. I was watching NCAA tournament games. I was going back and forth. There was two or three games being played at once, and they were all coming down to the wire, and I kind of got involved. And then the dog needed to go out, and then I had to feed the dog mm-hmm. dinner. My wife was not home, and I was just kind of... Anyway, mm-hmm. 2 hours... I'm not kidding you. 2 hours went by. My wife finally called from being out and said, hey, let's meet. We're going to all go out to dinner. I grabbed my phone to go out and meet her for dinner, and I saw a note. Hey, Chris, the draft started, but it was 2 hours ago. And I was like, oh, my goodness. That is exactly what happened. I mm-hmm. plum forgot.
No.
And I can't believe mm-hmm. I did it either.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you didn't have to believe me. I don't have another excuse. So.
Well, Chris did draft a better team than I did. So.
But the auto draft ended up getting me probably as good a team as yours, so... I probably wouldn't have drafted that well.
I'll say this about auto draft, that you, when it came up to your pick, I had a few guys that I thought maybe the auto draft would take, and they mostly took the guys I thought you
really?
Would take.
Yes. Oh, that's good. Yeah. But I felt really crappy about it, and I didn't even know how to like text anybody and
you
say,
didn't.
I'm sorry, I brain cramped. But
Dan
exactly
said
what
on
I
the
did.
Chat.
Chris, unbelievable.
Chris,
I don't know what I'm doing.
Chris, the dog chewed his homework also.
Yeah, I know. It's not believable, but I don't know.
Chris and I don't even play till week 11, but we're in the same division.
It's a head-to-head fantasy baseball league, yeah. which I'm going to have to get used to.
It is different.
I've done fantasy baseball for, what, 2-3 decades? But I've always done a whole season-long fantasy baseball season. I've never, ever once played the head-to-head thing.
Oh, you're just accumulating stats through the year?
Yeah.
So you don't know where you stand?
Yes, or? they give the standings every day.
Okay.
You know exactly where you are.
I didn't know that was how you did it.
That's
you
how
played.
My fantasy
oh,
baseball leagues are.
That's crazy. And yeah. you guys don't use any AL players?
No, we only use NL players, which makes it... really tough.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm looking forward to our league. I think I got a nice club. Thank you to the auto draft.
You do have a nice club.
It's all right. It's something that I can, you know, begin from, and now I'll start tearing
I'll say this
it apart
about Chris.
Piecing it together.
He went right to the waiver wire
and
picked
right
up some guys.
As soon as I got home that night after dinner, I went to the waiver wire and picked up a few guys to try to augment the roster yeah. that the auto draft got for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was willing to be in on it. I honestly gagged. That's all I can tell you. Coming up more, Gwen and Chris. Padres pen pal season is just a few days away. We'll get to the latest. Welcome back. 5:38 is the time. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. at Petco Park with us for the Padre pen pal segment, which comes up in just a couple of minutes. Caitlin Clark and Iowa are leading their game over West Virginia. They're just getting underway in the second quarter. It is 20-15 in favor of Iowa. You think any of her teammates feel slighted by the fact that she gets all the attention and they did get none?
Yes.
You do?
Yes. There's always...
That's like golfers that used to get mad that Tiger Woods got all the attention. Do you know how much money Tiger Woods made all of you people?
She's not making... I guess what I get what you're saying. She's bringing eyeballs to the team.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel you're probably right.
Would anybody know who Hannah Stuckey is? Does anybody know who she is now?
Oh, yes. I was a big Hannah Stuckey fan.
Yeah. I mean, the Iowa players are going to play in an incredible spotlight that would not exist were it not for Caitlin Clark. So there's that. I don't believe that they would be jealous of her attention. Maybe you would be if you were on the Iowa squad.
Well, I guess that's, I'm not jealous of the attention on Tony, so I can put myself in that
there
position.
There you go. Nobody yeah. pays attention to you or I, Scraby.
No, but you know what they do?
Tony
they
gets
say,
everything.
Oh, Tony Gwynn Jr., can you come over here and take a picture? And he'll be like, yeah, of course I'll come over and take a picture.
You and
then
I
they'll
just
look
stand
at me and
there
they go,
twiddling their thumb.
Hey, can you take
can
the
you
picture?
Can you take the picture?
like,
I don't
right,
expect
whatever.
It to be any different. There was an interesting thought there in the last segment, Zach Gelb in his little between segments piece talking about McCarthy, the quarterback at Michigan.
Oh, J.J. McCarthy.
J.J. McCarthy. And how, you know, Harbaugh says he's the best quarterback in the draft.
I mean, that's his quarterback, so.
Of course. You got to keep that.
In the draft?
In mind. Best quarterback in the draft. Harbaugh says it. Wow. McCarthy's the guy. Wonder how Harbaugh would feel if the Chargers said, let's trade Justin Herbert away because we can get J.J. McCarthy.
It's the first
thing
we
find out how quick Harbaugh thinks McCarthy's good.
Yeah. Would J.J. McCarthy end up a Charger if they needed a quarterback? I doubt it.
Anyway. Yeah, we'll see if Harbaugh ever has to put his money where his mouth is. Right now, he can just say all he wants about how great J.J. McCarthy is. I'm of the belief that he's not going to be that great. I've been wrong. We're all been wrong on drafts. Who knows? But I'll take Michael Penix over McCarthy any day. And I'll take my chances there. We'll see how. There's no way of knowing. And there's you don't no know way. What team they're going to go to and how things are all going to work out for each guy and the path they're going to take and whether there'll be some injuries here or something there. You never know. But I'm going to predict Penix is better than McCarthy. I've seen both guys in a game against each other. And McCarthy's team won by 20 points. And I still think Penix is better than him.
Because J.J. McCarthy ran a very calculated offense.
That doesn't mean that he can't run a different offense.
I didn't see it, though.
I didn't either. I'm agreeing with you, Scrabe. I didn't see it either.
Good. Finally, we agree on something.
Yeah, it's a rarity. NFL owners today approved the ban of the hip drop tackling technique.
Yes,
they mentioned that a little earlier in the Big Five. But you won't see guys pulling guys to the ground with them anymore.
Which I'm fine with.
Me too. All right, let's get to Tony's ready. Let's get to today's Padres pen pals just 3 days before the season starts for real.
It's time to ask the experts, Padres fans.
I was hoping maybe you can bring a little insight into it.
Write us, tweet us, Facebook us, send a carrier pigeon for Chris. He thinks they're cute. Aww. Padres Pen Pals begins.
Hurt the pelota big time.
Now, on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. It's that time of the year. Padres Pen Pals is getting started. We already have some games in the books, guys. Last time we talked about Padres Pen Pals, we did not. But we're going to get started with something from the Korea games. And it's... Whoop, I need to put that down. It's a little bit of a interesting Monday we got going on. Chris is just staring at me like, are you going to figure this out at a certain point?
I hope we're starting on something with the Korea games, considering those only games being played.
Yes, correct. So we will. And here is the first pen pal letter. I find the whole Korea game thing fun, but also kind of strange because they played two games, then they take a full week off, and now they will get back at it on Thursday. We saw them win in the second game in an offensive explosion, but how much can we take from their games in Korea, Chris? Seems like glorified spring training that actually counts in the standings.
Well, I think we can take something from the games. I mean, they played well in the second game. They pitched poorly in the first game and had some bad luck in the first game. But I think the whole Korea thing is kind of silly myself. I mean, but then again, I didn't go. I didn't experience it. I think it sounded like it was a fantastic, you know, experience for everybody involved. But I don't know why. You know, we have to play baseball games in Korea. I don't know necessarily that we're going to be able to take over the world by just playing two games there. I guess they might be able to sell some more
jerseys
and that kind of stuff. But I think it was a whole lot of do about nothing, frankly. I think it was took a lot of time, a lot of effort. You have to take a week off when you get back just so that the players have a chance to get back on San Diego time. So, I mean, I guess if you have to make these games, yeah, it's not a bad point. What would a difference been if they would have just been two spring training games? Would just nobody have gone, like Juan Soto didn't go to Mexico City to play with the Yankees? Was that what they were worried about? I don't know. I think baseball's trying to be like football, and in this instance, I don't think it didn't do a whole lot for me.
All right, Tony, the offensive explosion, how much can we take from it?
Is that the actual question?
The actual question, I think, morphed.
I didn't answer. I didn't answer his question because I didn't like his question.
Okay, well, that's not the game, Chris. That's not the game. They're asking us questions. It's
I
not
know,
even
but
my
I
question.
I but you're reading it, so I'm giving you the blame.
All right.
To answer your question, I thought there was quite a bit you could pull from it on the offensive side. I mean, obviously the big explosion against the Dodgers. You know, prize free agent acquisition in Yamamoto. You saw the lineup really swing the bats up and down. And I think even going to the first game, although, you know, they had a much more difficult matchup with Glasnow, the runs they scored were in a fashion in which they struggled immensely in 2023. So to answer your question, yeah, I think there is some things you can pull from the offense. And if you watched spring training all season, it was clear that it was something that this team was working on. And so to see it kind of come to fruition in different ways in the first two games, I think is encouraging.
All right. Thank you very much for that, Tony. We go on to the next before Chris gets going again on the London games or something like that. I am so excited for another season of Padres baseball, and I can't wait for Thursday. I do think it's kind of interesting that the Padres open up with Bomell, Blake Snell, and the Giants. Personally, I am not going to boo them, but I do know friends saying they will boo them, but I don't really see why. My problem is the Padres seem to be okay with letting the Giants take former Padres in their own division. Bomell knows how the Padres work. Bomell knows how these players are going to react to certain things. Tony, do you think this was a really bad move for the Padres to let these guys go?
I don't think they had much of a choice. And really, especially in Blake's situation. I mean, he was going to covet money that I don't think the Padres were prepared to spend. And so they had their hands tied on that one. In terms of Bomell, you know, looking back on it now, I think there was clearly some disconnect between Bomell and AJ Preller. I don't think there's any other way you can get around that. And if there's going to be disconnect, maybe it was best that Bo went the way he went and the Padres went the way they went. I think ultimately both sides could end up happy with what has ended up happening at the end of this when it's all said and done. I agree with this particular fan that it doesn't make any sense to boo either one of them. They both accomplished things and got this organization to places it hadn't been in quite some time. So it sucks to lose them in the division, but I think the Padres' hands were tied on this one.
Chris, what do you think? Do you think this was a bad move for the Padres?
Well, I don't think it was a move for the Padres. I mean, you can't part company with a player with a caveat that they don't sign with a team in your division. You know, you can't part with your manager.
That's a good point.
You can't part with your manager and say, well, you can't resurface in the division. I don't know any other way to explain that. I find it interesting that a lot of people are really worried about how Bomell is going to do with the Giants, considering, according to most of the people I read in Twitter and everywhere else, Bob Melvin was the sole reason that the Padres failed last year.
You make a solid point, Chris.
I must have read that 1,000 times from 100 different fans. Bob Melvin was the reason that the Padres, you know, underachieved and couldn't get it together last year. I mean, it's ridiculous. He's a good manager. He's the same manager that led them to the playoffs the year before. But no, you can't control this. I mean, you don't have to trade a player in your own division. That you have control over. But if you're not going to re-sign somebody, there's no way to control what they can do. So, you know, booing them would be silly, but it'll also be fun. A couple of boos never hurt anybody on opening day. So
you have my
go ahead to
your blessing,
my blessing to throw a few boos in there just for fun.
You hear that, everyone?
There you go.
You got Chris's blessing.
Yeah.
All right. Final Padres pen pals today. And this one is actually about Shohei Ohtani. Let me just get this out there. I am not a Dodger lover whatsoever. I'm a fan of baseball and what Shohei Ohtani has done. I'm a huge fan of Ohtani, the baseball player. I feel like your station has done a good job of making it clear that he has not been found to have bet on baseball. However, the court of public opinion says he is guilty and that he is also Pete Rose. I'm not sure how Padres fans feel about this, but do you think it's fair for Padres fans, Chris, to go crazy with gambling taunts when they come to town?
Is it unfair to go crazy with gambling taunts?
Yes.
No. You can throw a few gambling taunts
no.
in. Why not? I mean, you don't have to have proof to taunt. Taunting is, you know, part of being a fan. As long as you're being reasonable out there.
Yeah. But reasonable is the key.
You know, I do find it interesting that in the court of public opinion, Shohei Ohtani is this degenerative gambler who bets on baseball. I mean, there's absolutely no proof or any sign that this is even remotely true.
A wire transfer came from his account.
I know where the wire transfer came from, Scraby. It still could have been broken into and hacked.
Yes, I know.
Somebody could have transferred the money without his knowledge. But let's see where it goes as far as the court of public opinion. I love the court of public opinion because that's how we kind of rule the world. But unfortunately, the court of public opinion can't put anybody behind bars. There has to be some actual proof. But while we're waiting and wondering, all's fair in love and war. And the Dodgers are part of war, so
there you go.
I say throw a couple of taunts in.
All right.
While you're booing Bob Melvin, go ahead and taunt Shohei Ohtani. See if it gets you anywhere.
All right, Tony, do you think it's unfair for Padres fans to go crazy with gambling taunts?
No, taunts are, you know, part of the public opinion. That's how taunts really are formed most of the time, is through public opinion. So, now, going beyond that, I think is unfair because, as Chris has noted, as you've noted, it's been no proof that he's actually done anything wrong. Now, the wire transfers are certainly something he's going to have to account for, but there are more than the reason of being a degenerative gambler for that type of situation. So, I think ultimately he's going to hear it, regardless of whether he's actually guilty of any of this stuff or not. He's going to hear it. He's going to wear it. All of the above.
I think it's funny that we're not just calling and referring him as a potential gambler. He's a degenerative gambler.
Well, I mean,
we're making him out to be the,
like that would be.
I see.
I can already hear it. He's going to say strike out in the game. Oh, would you have a bet on that one, Shohei?
Yeah, well, people are going to do what they do. I mean, you're in the public eye.
Notice that they're only going, those type of taunts are only going to come when he doesn't do something. Like if he punches out, are you throwing the game? Because it's going to be hard to do that if he like goes deep and he's trotting the bases and you're trying to give him crap about that. So
did you have an anytime home run?
All right, that's it for Padres pen pals. No actual on-the-field stuff today. We'll get back into that next week, but thank you to all for your submission.
Yes, thank you all for submitting. You kind of said thank you for your submission.
Yeah.
Means everybody submitted.
What is that? What?
I don't know. 5:54 is the time. Okay. We got another minute left.
I was like, huh?
Speaking of the Shohei Ohtani thing, you just told me of a funny comment that Pete Rose made tonight.
I saw this on the chat from...
Somebody told you on the chat.
Our guy, The Beef, said...
The Beef? The guy's name is The Beef?
The Beef had a beef with you earlier, and so I was talking to The Beef about
what
his
the beef. What was The Beef's beef?
The Beef...
I can handle it.
He didn't like your Korea take about how it wasn't a waste of time.
I felt kind of bad about that take, but I just don't know that baseball has to play all these international games.
I'm kind of with you, but I understand why they do it.
Anyway,
what did The Beef go on to say? Pete Rose... apparently said he wished he had a translator because he would be in the Hall of Fame.
Because whatever Shohei Ohtani actually said that could have rubbed somebody the wrong way, his interpreter can clean it up for him and make him sound terrific.
That is true.
Although it can work the other way.
It could.
Maybe Shohei says something really, really nice and, you know, pointed, and then his interpreter messes it up and makes him sound like he's, you know...
I don't know that that happened because there are other people in this world that can speak Japanese and they would know if he was doing that.
Point.
But
good point.
Still, you can't really trust anything that Ipe has to say.
Well, Ipe didn't say anything today because he's been fired. But Shohei said that he never bet on baseball and he feels betrayed. And we'll see where it goes from there. All right. Good work today. Scraby's got a quick show, half hour next.
That's right.
And then Padre baseball tonight against the Mariners. We're back following the afternoon game tomorrow. So we'll see you about 3 o'clock or so tomorrow and kick everything around on Gwynn and Chris. Bye-bye.
It's time to ask the experts, Padres fans.
I was hoping maybe you can bring a little insight into it.
Write us, tweet us, Facebook us, send a carrier pigeon for Chris. He thinks they're cute. Aww. Padres Pen Pals begins...
Hurt the pelota big time.
Now, on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. It's that time of the year. Padres Pen Pals is getting started. We already have some games in the books, guys. Last time we talked about Padres Pen Pals, we did not. But we're going to get started with something from the Korea games. And it's... Whoop, I need to put that down. It's a little bit of a interesting Monday we got going on. Chris is just staring at me like, are you going to figure this out at a certain point?
I hope we're starting on something with the Korea games, considering those only games being played.
Yes, correct. So we will. And here is the first Pen Pal letter. I find the whole Korea game thing fun, but also kind of strange because they played two games, then they take a full week off, and now they will get back at it on Thursday. We saw them win in the second game in an offensive explosion, but how much can we take from their games in Korea, Chris? Seems like glorified spring training that actually counts in the standings.
Well, I think we can take something from the games. I mean, they played well in the second game. They pitched poorly in the first game and had some bad luck in the first game. But I think the whole Korea thing is kind of silly myself. I mean, but then again, I didn't go. I didn't experience it. I think it sounded like it was a fantastic, you know, experience for everybody involved. But I don't know why. You know, we have to play baseball games in Korea. I don't know necessarily that we're going to be able to take over the world by just playing two games there. I guess they might be able to sell some more...
Jerseys
and, that kind of stuff. But I think it was a whole lot of do about nothing, frankly. I think it was took a lot of time, a lot of effort. You have to take a week off when you get back just so that the players have a chance to get back on San Diego time. So, I mean, I guess if you have to make these games, yeah, it's not a bad point. What would a difference been if they would have just been two spring training games? Would just nobody have gone? Like Juan Soto didn't go to Mexico City to play with the Yankees? Was that what they were worried about? I don't know. I think baseball's trying to be like football, and in this instance, I don't think it didn't do a whole lot for me.
All right, Tony, the offensive explosion, how much can we take from it?
Is that the actual question?
The actual question, I think, morphed.
I didn't
answer
his question because I didn't like his question.
Okay, well, that's not the game, Chris. That's not the game. They're asking us questions. It's
I
not
know,
even
but
my
I
question.
But you're reading it, so I'm giving you the blame.
All right.
To answer your question, I thought there was quite a bit you could pull from it on the offensive side. I mean, obviously, the big explosion against the Dodgers. You know, prized free agent acquisition in Yamamoto. You saw the lineup really swing the bats up and down. And I think even going to the first game, although, you know, they had a much more difficult matchup with Glasnow, the runs they scored were in a fashion in which they struggled immensely in 2023. So to answer your question, yeah, I think there is some things you can pull from the offense. And if you watched spring training all season, it was clear that it was something that this team was working on. And so to see it kind of come to fruition in different ways in the first two games, I think is encouraging.
All right. Thank you very much for that, Tony. We go on to the next before Chris gets going again on the London games or something like that. I I am so excited for another season of Padres baseball, and I can't wait for Thursday. I do think it's kind of interesting that the Padres open up with Bo Mel, Blake Snell, and the Giants. Personally, I am not going to boo them, but I do know friends saying they will boo them, but I don't really see why. My problem is the Padres seem to be okay with letting the Giants take former Padres in their own division. Bo Mel knows how the Padres work. Bo Mel knows how these players are going to react to certain things. Tony, do you think this was a really bad move for the Padres to let these guys go?
I don't think they had much of a choice. And it really, especially in Blake's situation, I mean, he was going to covet money that I don't think the Padres were prepared to spend. And so they had their hands tied on that one. In terms of Bo Mel, you know, looking back on it now, I think there was clearly some disconnect between Bo Mel and AJ Preller. I don't think there's any other way you can get around that. And if there's going to be disconnect, maybe it was best that Bo went the way he went and the Padres went the way they went. I think ultimately both sides could end up happy with what has ended up happening at the end of this, when it's all said and done. I agree with this particular fan that it doesn't make any sense to boo either one of them. They both accomplished things and got this organization to places it hadn't been in quite some time. So it sucks to lose them in the division, but I think the Padres' hands were tied on this one.
Chris, what do you think? Do you think this was a bad move for the Padres?
Well, I don't think it was a move for the Padres. I mean, you can't part company with a player with a caveat that they don't sign with a team in your division. You know, you can't part with your manager.
That's a good point.
You can't part with your manager and say, well, you can't resurface in the division. I don't know any other way to explain that. I find it interesting that a lot of people are really worried about how Bo Mel is going to do with the Giants, considering, according to most of the people I read in Twitter and everywhere else, Bob Melvin was the sole reason that the Padres failed last year.
You make a solid point, Chris.
I must have read that 1,000 times from 100 different fans. Bob Melvin was the reason that the Padres, you know, underachieved and couldn't get it together last year. I mean, it's ridiculous. He's a good manager. He's the same manager that led them to the playoffs the year before. But no, you can't control this. I mean, you don't have to trade a player in your own division. That you have control over. But if you're not going to re-sign somebody, there's no way to control what they can do. So, you know, booing them would be silly, but it'll also be fun. A couple of boos. Never hurt anybody on opening day. So
no,
you have my go ahead to
your blessing,
my blessing to all throw right. A few booze in there just for fun.
You hear that, everyone?
There you go.
You got Chris's blessing.
Yeah.
All right. Final Padres pen pals today, and this one is actually about Shohei Ohtani. Let me just get this out there. I am not a Dodger lover whatsoever. I am a fan of baseball and what Shohei Ohtani has done. I am a huge fan of Ohtani, the baseball player. I feel like your station has done a good job of making it clear that he has not been found to have bet on baseball. However, the court of public opinion says he is guilty and that he is also Pete Rose. I'm not sure how Padres fans feel about this, but do you think it's fair for Padres fans, Chris, to go crazy with gambling taunts when they come to town?
Is it unfair to go crazy with gambling taunts?
Yes.
No. You can throw a few gambling taunts
no.
in. Why not? I mean, you don't have to have proof to taunt. Taunting is, you know, part of being a fan. As long as you're being reasonable out there.
Yeah.
But
reasonable is the key.
You know, I do find it interesting that in the court of public opinion, Shohei Ohtani is this degenerative gambler who bets on baseball. I mean, there's absolutely no proof or any sign that this is even remotely true.
A wire transfer came from his account.
I know where the wire transfer came from, Scraby. It still could have been broken into and hacked.
Yes, I know.
Somebody could have transferred the money without his knowledge. But let's see where it goes as far as the court of public opinion. I love the court of public opinion because that's how we we kind of rule the world. But unfortunately, the court opinion, public opinion can't put anybody behind bars. There has to be some actual proof. But while we're waiting and wondering, all's fair in love and war. And the Dodgers are part of war, so
there you go.
I say throw a couple of taunts in.
Right.
While you're booing Bob Melvin, go ahead and taunt Shohei Ohtani. See if it gets you anywhere.
All right, Tony, do you think it's unfair for Padres fans to go crazy with gambling taunts?
No, taunts are, you know, part of the public opinion. That's how taunts really are formed most of the time, is through public opinion. So now, going beyond that, I think is unfair, because as Chris has noted, as you've noted, it's been no proof that he's actually done anything wrong. Now, the wire transfers are certainly something he's going to have to account for, but there are more than the reason of being a degenerative gambler for that type of situation. So I think ultimately he's going to hear it, regardless of whether he's actually guilty of any of this stuff or not. He's going to hear it. He's going to wear it. All of the above.
I think it's funny that we're not just calling and referring him as a potential gambler. He's a degenerative gambler.
Well, I mean,
we're making him out to be
the, like that would be.
I see.
I can already hear it. He's going to say strike out in the game. Oh, would you have a bet on that one, Shohei?
Yeah, well, people are going to do what they do. I mean, you're in the public eye.
Notice that they're only going, those type of taunts are only going to come when he doesn't do something. Like if he punches out, are you throwing the game? Because it's going to be hard to do that if he like goes deep and he's trotting the bases and you're trying to give him crap about that. So
did you have an anytime home run?
All right, that's it for Padres pen pals. No actual on the field stuff today. We'll get back into that next week. But thank you to all for your submission.
Yes, thank you all for submitting. You kind of said thank you for your submission.
Yeah,
everybody submitted.
What is that? What?
I don't know. 5:54 is the time. Okay. We got another minute left.
I was like, huh?
Speaking of the Shohei Ohtani thing, you just told me of a funny comment that Pete Rose made tonight.
I saw this on the chat from...
Somebody told you on the chat.
Our guy, The Beef, said...
The Beef? The guy's name is The Beef?
The Beef had a beef with you earlier, and so I was talking to The Beef about
what
his
the beef. What was The Beef's beef?
The Beef...
I can handle it.
He didn't like your Korea take about how it wasn't a waste of time.
I felt kind of bad about that take, but I just don't know that baseball has to play all these international games.
I'm kind of with you, but I understand why they do it.
Anyway,
but
what did The Beef go on to say?
Pete Rose... apparently said he wished he had a translator because he would be in the Hall of Fame.
Because whatever Shohei Ohtani that said that could have rubbed somebody the wrong way, his interpreter can clean it up for him and make him sound terrific.
That is true.
Although it can work the other way.
It could.
Maybe Shohei says something really, really nice and, you know, pointed, and then his interpreter messes it up and makes him sound like he's, you know...
I don't know that happened, because there are other people in this world that can speak Japanese and they would know if he was doing that.
Point.
But still, you can't really trust anything that Ipe has to say.
Well, Ipe didn't say anything today because he's been fired. But Shohei said that he never bet on baseball and he feels betrayed, and we'll see where it goes from there. All right, good work today. Scraby's got a quick show, half hour next.
That's right.
And then Padre baseball tonight against the Mariners. We're back following the afternoon game tomorrow. So we'll see you about 3 o'clock or so tomorrow and kick everything around on Gwen and Chris. Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.